Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Homosexual activists try very hard to pretend these individuals don't exist, because if they acknowledge former homosexuals did exist, they could no longer, that's homosexual activists, could no longer claim people are quote-unquote born gay. My guest today is in that group of individuals that homosexual activists attempt to sweep under the rug, attempt to silence, and that even the secular psychologist assure that individuals like my guest were born homosexual. And she's here to tell us a story. My guest today is Robin Goodspeed of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks, Robin, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I know a little bit about your story. I know that you were sexually molested at a very, very young age. And how did that, or do you think that had an impact on your life after that and where it led you?
It definitely had an effect on me, a profound effect on me. I was sexually abused by an adult babysitter at the age of 2.
Oh, my.
And that set up in me a lifelong battle with anger, depression, addiction, and eventually suicide. So it had a very profound effect on me.
And you do read a lot of stories about that being the very case where those who identify as homosexual, they do have a history of being sexually abused, even though homosexual activists downplay that. But I know even some of the more prominent ones have said, I think even Ellen DeGeneres said that she had been sexually abused. So that's not an uncommon story. But that led you to struggling with your sexual identity as to who you were.
Yes, it did. It very much affected me. Unfortunately, that abuse happened without the knowledge of my family or my parents.
Okay.
So there was nothing to point to as to why I started having problems. But okay. I began to have attraction to female coaches and teachers at the age of 13 and struggled with anger and depression from the age of 2 on up to the age of 13.
How does a 2-year-old describe that? You know, a 2-year-old doesn't have the words to describe that. And so I'm sure that your parents were really scratching their head as to what had happened, why this transformation from their little girl who had, I'm assuming had been relatively happy-go-lucky as far as a 2-year-old. Most 2-year-olds are. And I'm sure that they were scratching their heads as to what had happened.
For me, it came out in anger. And I had a younger brother and sister, and I began being physically and verbally abusive, taking
wow.
my anger out on my
uh-huh.
younger siblings.
Wow.
So, yes, that was the first thing that happened that indicated there was a problem.
Okay. And so then you started school, and you say about 13 years of age, you began feeling sexual attractions to your female coaches and such.
Yes. I was a very happy, on the surface, kid, except for my anger,
mm-hmm.
all the way up until that age. And I was an A student and on the surface fairly well adjusted, but the anger and depression took a toll on me, and by the age of 13 I had what could have been diagnosed back then as a nervous breakdown.
Oh my goodness.
And then I went from being an A student to a D student, and then I started having attractions and crushes, it was the word that I used for it, on my female teachers and coaches.
Okay. How did the school offer any kind of help? And yeah, you're talking about 13. I mean, that's an age where every kid that age is dealing with issues. But then you had the sexual assault on top of everything else. And so you came to the age of 13, and that kind of your world kind of crashed with your school grades going down and such as that. Did the school offer or any kind of help or any suggestions to your parents as to what was going on or how they could deal with it?
The school never did address my issues. I went to a large public high school in the Midwest, and I was one of 3,000 students.
Oh, my goodness.
So it wasn't something that was addressed, and I did not act on my feelings
uh-huh.
on the inside during uh-huh. junior high and high school. So there was nothing overt for them to address except for the fact that my grades went from A's to D's, C's and D's.
Now, did they have any homosexual affirming, like a Gay Straight Alliance Club? Did they have anything like that or any kind of teachers that were, shall we say, glamorizing the homosexual lifestyle?
At the time that I was in high school, there was nothing like that that I was aware of. And
okay.
I personally still had some embarrassment all the way to shame about my feelings.
Okay.
So I did not talk openly about it.
Okay. Today's school, public school scene is completely different, where there's definitely the effort to normalize the lifestyle. And with the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, or GLSEN, with their push to get Gay, Straight, you know, in every school they want a Gay, Straight Alliance Club. And that's the
most definitely
goal. So, wow. So if that had been your situation, then that club may well have been a place which would have probably affirmed your feelings and it would have tried to erase your embarrassment.
And this did happen to me because I did eventually go to college, and this did happen to me in college.
Okay. Probably every higher education institution does push the homosexual agenda as well.
Yes.
But at least push the normalization of it. So you graduated high school, probably an average student by the time you graduated?
Yes.
And then you went on to college, and then what happened?
In college, I was also struggling with addiction, which was part of what the consequences of what happened to me with the sexual abuse at a very young age.
Right.
And I was very much involved in alcoholic drinking and a lot of other addiction-related things like overeating and gaining weight.
Mm-hmm.
My first lesbian experience in college was because I got drunk and woke up with my best female friend from the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I still personally, at that time, had some shame about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the school that I was going to at that time was a small, supposedly a church school,
mm-hmm.
and the school actually was very, very encouraging of lesbian relationships and very much involved in encouraging sexuality of every kind. In fact, they had a pornography festival every spring. That
a pornography
was,
festival? This was a church school? Is that what you said?
This was a church school, yes.
Oh, my.
This was back in the 1970s. So it's
wow.
been going on a long time.
I can't imagine what they do now.
If
they're doing that back in the 70s. And I tell parents that they have to be careful because just because a college or university bills itself as a Christian establishment, a Christian institution of higher education, they need to check under the covers there some and check more
yes,
deeply
very
than
much.
Just the words that may be on a catalog or on a website and check and see if their quote unquote Christian university is having a porn fest every year. Wow.
Exactly.
That's very troubling. I can't imagine what they're doing nowadays in that particular university. So you were basically plopped down into a situation where you were encouraged to act upon your feelings, but you were still struggling with self-image?
Yes, I still had internal shame about homosexuality in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still resistant to it. So it wasn't something that I was entirely comfortable with.
Right.
However, I went to several different school counselors. I had transferred to another college by this time, and I went to several school counselors. And in that environment, I was literally told, you were born this way.
Wow.
And I also began a lesbian relationship with one of my sorority sisters. Unfortunately, my alcoholic drinking and all of the depression and the beginnings of suicidal problems were involved in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I basically was told to embrace that relationship and just to begin to think well of myself or love myself as I was.
I can't imagine, you know, as you're still having an internal struggle with the shame of your feelings and you're acting upon those feelings, and they're still there, there's still the shame there, but yet everyone around you is saying embrace it. You know, the ones who are supposed to, you know, the smart guys, you know, like the administration, that's like psychiatrists and such within the school are telling you to embrace it. yet you're struggling with that. And
yes, the therapy community, at least in academia, had already embraced what I call the lie that homosexuals are born that way.
Yeah.
I wasn't born that way.
Yeah.
I had an enormous amount of internal shame, yet I was being told every session with two different therapists at two different schools, all I had to do was love myself and everything would be fine.
And this was in the 70s.
Yes.
Nowadays, it's even more in your face.
It's much worse.
Yeah.
It's much worse. I'm also involved in doing some lobbying work against the legislation that is trying to force young people who had the same experiences that I did of having difficulties with homosexual feelings. They are trying to force people to continue on in that life and not get the help that they need. And for me, that was a very, very difficult situation. And the therapy community had embraced it. The schools, the colleges had embraced it. And today, I am discovering that there's actual recruitment going on.
Within the public
school? In colleges.
Oh, in college? Okay, probably within the public school. Because then they're priming them in the public school, and then when they go into college, then they're ready to pounce. To recruit those. Because personally, I think a lot of this has to do with kids coming from broken homes. You know, there are more and more kids from broken homes nowadays, and they are trying to feel loved. And homosexual activists are more than willing to embrace them and show that they care about them.
Yes.
And of course, it's in the attempt to recruit them.
Yes, the homosexual community is extremely active in basically providing a family environment for young people who are wounded, number one, themselves through abuse or neglect, and do not have an intact family or at least a sense of an intact family. And that is very much the case. And I embraced that feeling of community once I dove into the lesbian life, which I ultimately did.
You know, it's very troubling. There's a couple LGBT community centers here in Pennsylvania that I know of, mostly in the eastern part of the state. But it's interesting that they partner with Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is one of the sponsors of these LGBT youth community centers. That's always been intriguing, I guess, to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the homosexual activists know how to reach the kids because the kids are looking for someplace to fit in. So that's how they do that in with these community centers. And the recruitment that takes place, let's back up a little bit. You said you were lobbying. Those are against the bills, such as we had a couple introduced here in Pennsylvania. Those are against the bills that would prohibit parents from seeking therapy for their child with unwanted same-sex attraction. Are those the type
of
bills? Okay.
Yes, I have been involved in lobbying against those bills, and thankfully, 14 out of 16 states have defeated those bills in one way or another because of efforts by people like me and groups of people like me who recognize what the intention of this legislation really is.
Yeah.
It is not to protect young gay people. It is to prevent young people who've been abused, who've been neglected, who are struggling to find the children of God that they were born to be.
Absolutely.
It's to prevent them from getting the help that they need.
Yeah.
To heal the wounds that they have suffered.
And for there to be such a big push here in Pennsylvania, of course, our legislative session is winding down. I think there's like only a couple more days left in this session. But for Pennsylvania legislators to be pushing this, when we just had all that exposed with Jerry Sandusky over at Penn State and the sexual abuse that, you know, he was involved in with young boys. But to me, it's an outrage that Pennsylvania legislators would be pushing this ban on the ability for youth to be able to get therapy for their unwanted same-sex attraction. So it's just outrageous to me. So back to your college days. So you're involved in the lesbian lifestyle, and then you see the light. How did that all kind of take place?
Well, what happened for me is, unfortunately, I embraced the lie that I was born that way.
Mm.
And because my abuse happened at such a young age, it took me quite a while to unravel some of the old memories and old feelings of terror and rage that I had suffered with since I was a child. And I continued to have problems with depression, addiction, and suicide. So I continued to go to therapists who for help with those issues. And every single therapist told me that I was born homosexual and that that had nothing to do with why I was struggling with suicide, depression, and addiction. Even
so they weren't connecting the dots. They were just...
No.
Okay.
No, but even the therapist who finally helped me at the age of 40 face the abuse that happened to me as a child while I was on suicide watch, even that therapist who was helping me understand what happened to me as a two-year-old, even she told me, this is who you are.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, they were connecting the dots. They were choosing not to tell me the truth.
Yeah. But you were connecting the dots as far as going back and viewing that abuse at 2 years of age as being the really the root problem or the root situation that created your desire for the same sex. And your,
well, unfortunately, excuse me.
I'm just going to say in your suicidal tendencies and your drug addiction and such.
Yes. I finally was able to figure out that that is where it came from. Unfortunately, I had embraced the lie that I was born homosexual so completely. I had completely immersed myself in the lesbian life. I had specifically moved to the West Coast so I could live as an out lesbian, and I completely surrounded myself with that community. And part of the reason for that was to continue to reinforce that lie, because on the inside, underneath many layers of denial and basically lying to myself, I knew what I was doing was wrong.
Wow.
I knew what I was doing was wrong and that the way that I was living was wrong.
Even then, you still knew you were doing what was wrong. Were you brought up in the church?
I was brought up in the Episcopal Church as a child, but right around the age of 13, I wasn't able to get any kind of therapy help, knew that I was in deep trouble, turned to the church for help, but the youth pastor of my youth group at that time, and this was back in the 1960s, wasn't involved in really helping me, and he volunteered to basically smoke marijuana with me.
Oh, my goodness. This was your youth pastor?
This is my youth pastor at an Episcopal church. And, I knew then that was not help, and I turned, unfortunately for me, I turned away from church. Well, I turned away from that youth pastor. I turned away from church, and I turned away from God, and I became a functioning atheist for most of my adult life.
Well, I can understand that. If you're having your youth pastor offer to smoke marijuana with you, that would kind of turn you away from the church. I mean, because they're acting no different than the world. That's ludicrous. Do you think the church today is equipped to address the issues of someone who's dealing with unwanted same-sex attraction, as you were?
I think many in the church are, but I think there is kind of a schism in the church. Because for me, what finally and ultimately freed me from the homosexual life was an experience with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is what liberated me from the homosexual life. Praise God.
Yeah,
and my experience since that time has been that, yes, there are definite churches that are equipped, but it really helps for people like me who are ex-homosexuals, ex-lesbians, who've been freed from that life, to stand up and say, this is a lie. Homosexuals are not born that way. There is no gene. There is no DNA. They have suffered certain things, or they have made a choice to choose that life, and they can be freed from that life, and they can change.
It's one thing homosexual activists don't like to say, that one word, don't like to hear, choice.
No, they do not. And that's what it is. It's a choice. And I will go also to say that it is like any other sin. It is a choice. There's nothing special about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. The only thing special about it is the absolute audacity and perversity and persistence of the lie that has been defending it for many, many years.
Yeah.
There is no gene. There is no data to support that there is a homosexual gene. It does not exist.
It absolutely does not exist, and even really homosexual activists even admit that if you read under, you know, read the small print, shall we say. Now, why do you think there's such a big push now? I mean, you know, we see all these marriage protection amendments and such being overthrown by basically activist judges that are what they're doing is unconstitutional, but we see homosexuality and transgenderism being promoted in the media, whether it be television or whether the mainstream media glorifying all these judicial decisions and such. Why do you think there's the, you know, we live in a world now where homosexuality is okay. How have we gotten here?
Well, I think part of the reason that we've gotten there is, number one, homosexuals, and I was one of these people for many, many years, are basically able, because from my point of view, from my life, one of the things that I was very much involved in, because I was abused as a child, was to be safe and to organize my life so that I would be safe and also in control. Mm-hmm. And many, many homosexuals are the same way, if not most. And that's why they are much overrepresented in many, many industries, including media, including entertainment, including government.
Right.
A good example is what is going on right now in the city of Houston, where the first openly lesbian mayor of the city of Houston has tried to, basically is confronting religious liberty in that city. And what is motivating her is very personal.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of all homosexuals. It is personal with all homosexuals.
I don't know. You know, I've always viewed it as being dangerous to elect an open homosexual to public office, because we just have, just here in Pennsylvania, we have our first openly homosexual. He's a state representative. He was elected. He's running for re-election this year, I think he's just gone through one term, but there have been so many pro-homosexual bills that he's introduced, and he was pushing that agenda. So he views all this then as personal. If that's what you're saying, okay. So really, if the voters elect an open homosexual, then we will see, you know, there will be a big push for all these new laws that extend special protections to homosexuals in.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. And that's happening all over the country.
Oh, absolutely. There's a small town just a little bit north of here. They have elected two homosexuals. And just this past summer, there was the push to pass a homosexual special rights ordinance, you know, adding sexual orientation and gender identity to their anti-discrimination ordinance. And,
yes.
So that's what I view, too. So what would you encourage parents to do? You know, parents who have kids in public school, is there any special advice that you would extend to them?
I would definitely encourage parents to stay in touch with their kids and, you know, what they're really doing.
Mm-hmm.
It is prevalent in the culture. It is prevalent everywhere you look, and it's a very, very difficult situation. But I would definitely advise parents to, number one, do their own research on what the real consequences of a homosexual life is. The real consequences is not what is put forth in the half-hour sitcoms coming from your boob tube.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the reality of the homosexual life. The vast majority of homosexuals are dealing with the same things I was dealing with: depression, addiction, suicide, all kinds of negative consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And if parents can educate themselves on that reality and in a loving way communicate the reality to their kids, that would be very helpful, because kids are being told a lie, an absolute total lie, in their public schools about what the homosexual life really is.
Yeah, okay, so parents need to stay closely connected to their kids and know just what's going on in the schools. Well, Robin, I appreciate you telling us your story, and just thankful that you found the Lord and that you are where the Lord wants you to be. And just appreciate your working to stop the attempts to pass laws that would basically discriminate against, to me, it's infringement upon parental rights, these laws that are passed in New Jersey and California. But thank you for fighting for kids.
Thank you for having me, Diane, and praise God. This truth needs to be spoken loudly, and thank you for the work that you're doing to get the truth out there.
Are you available to speak at churches and such?
I am.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. If any of our listeners are interested, then they can contact me, and then I can contact you. That'd be the best way to do that?
That would be.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. So you are available to speak at churches and tell your story. That's great. And I do encourage our listeners, if there's anyone out there who wants to, any church wants to contact me about the possibility of Robin coming in, feel free to contact us, and we can contact Robin. And again, thank you so much for your story. I really appreciate the courage for you to tell it. Appreciate that. It was helpful. And you take
care. Thank you.
Okay, you take care.
Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.